Jaya Radha Madhava Kisara Kunjabi Hari. Could you get the raggedy box? It's in my back of my ground. Gopi Janabalaba Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Try it. Gopi Dhanabalaba Girivaradhari. Good. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. The summary of the first chapter is as follows. This chapter describes how Kamsa, frightened by hearing an omen about his being killed by the eighth son of Devaki, killed Devaki's sons one after another. When Shukadeva Goswami finished describing the dynasty of Yadu, as well as the dynasties of the moon god and sun god, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to describe Lord Krishna, who appeared with Baladev in the Yadu dynasty, and how Krishna performed his activities within this world. Krishna is transcendental, the king said, and therefore to understand his activities is the occupation of liberated persons. Shlokas. Oh, I like it. Give him the mic.
Atmaramasya munayo
nigrantha api rukrame
nigrantha api rukrame kurvanti ahaituki bhaktim
itam
bhuta guna hari.
And support it?
You mean translation?
Yeah, and tell why you put it in this context.
He's asking Krishna's pastimes are transcendental, so it is those for liberated souls. It is the liberated souls actually should hear those things which is transcendental, because they are beyond this material world. So in this verse, it is said even the liberated souls. It is equally good for everyone, especially even also the liberated souls. So that's why I said that.
Nice citation. The statement was, and still is, Krishna is transcendental, the king said, and therefore to understand his activities is the occupation of liberated persons. More shlokas.
Janma karma cha me divyam evang yogaiti tatvatah tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mam iti sarjuna.
And support it.
So the Krishna's activities and his appearance are transcendental, and one who understands them never takes birth again or is a liberated person.
Nice. That was the occupation of the devotees, to hear about Krishna. Satatam kirtayanto mam jatantascha dridavrata namaschantashtamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate machitta makata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantashtamam nityam tushanti charamanti cha. Syat Krishna nama charitari sitapta vidya pito patapta rasanasya narochikanu. I think
twam.
No. Tannama rupa charitaru sikirtananu smrityoho kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananu ragi jananu gami kalam nayari kilamiti padesha saram.
Hearing of Krishna Lila is the boat by which to achieve the ultimate goal of life.
Shloka. This is... Can I have a shloka book? Right up there. I think everyone else is going to need one soon, too. This is the verse. Tenth canto. It's tenth canto. Sorry. This is... Twayambu jaksha kila sattvadamni samadina vishita chetasaike twatpada potena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsa padambhavabdhim. That's 10 to 30 on page 249. O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross over the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans, great saints and sages and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over a Vatsapadam, which is the hoofprint of a calf. Hearing of Krishna Katha is the boat by which to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Except for an animal killer or one who is following a policy of suicide, every intelligent person must strive to understand Krishna and his activities. Nivrittatar shed upagiyamana bhavau shadash shotram anobiramat ka uttama shloku gandhanavadat puman vira jeta vina pashugna. Krishna was the only worshipable deity for the Pandavas. When Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of his mother Uttara, Krishna saved him from the attack of the Brahmashastra. Now Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami how his lordship Baladev, the son of Rohini, could have appeared in the womb of Devaki. Why did Krishna transfer himself from Mathura to Vrindavan? King Parikshit asked, and how did he live there with his family members? What did Krishna do in Mathura and Vrindavan, and why did he kill his maternal uncle Kamsa? For how many years did Krishna reside in Dwarka, and how many queens did he have? Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami all these questions. He also requested Shukadev Goswami to describe other activities of Krishna about which he could not inquire. When Shukadev Goswami began to speak about Krishna consciousness, Maharaj Parikshit forgot the fatigue brought about by his fasting. Enthusiastic to describe Krishna, Shukadev Goswami said, like the waters of the Ganges, the descriptions of the activities of Krishna can purify the entire universe. The speaker, the inquirer, and the audience all become purified. That's on page 249. Vasudeva katha prashna purusham trin punatihi bhaktaram prachakam shrotrims para salilambyata. The Ganges emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu purifies the three worlds, upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified. Who are the three varieties of men who are purified when one asks questions about Lord Vasudev? And everybody else in between. When Shukadev Goswami began to speak about Krishna consciousness, Akurnath Prabhu is leaving. Haribo! And he's coming back soon. Haribo! Oh, okay. All right. Please keep us in touch. Hare Krishna. When Shukadev Goswami began to speak about Krishna consciousness, Maharaj Parikshit forgot the fatigue brought about by his fasting. Previous verse, page 248. Nai shati dushahas shunmam tyaktonam apidbharate pibantan twan mukham bhoja chutam harikatam ritam. Chutam means falling. Harikata amritam. The nectar falling from your mouth. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Yes?
Ford Focus and a Honda are going to get towed if they're not moved. Parked by the barber shop.
Uh-oh. Ford Focus and a Volkswagen.
A Honda. A black Honda and a Super Focus.
Please hurry back. Who's got the Ford Focus? Anybody here have a Ford Focus? It's going to be towed. Shoot today. Oh. Yeah. That sounds like a rental car. Somebody better call him. Do you have his number? I have his number in the car. My keys are up there. My phone's in the... Yeah, you want to get my phone? Just, my phone's, I think, right in the middle and between the two front seats. It's an iPhone. Just look up SR, yeah. Shoot to Dave and call him again. Once, when the entire world was overburdened by the increasing military power of demons in the form of kings, Mother Earth assumed the shape of a cow and approached Lord Brahma for relief. Sympathetic to Mother Earth's lamentation, Brahma, accompanied by Lord Shiva and other demigods, took the cow-shaped Mother Earth to the shore of the milk ocean, where he offered prayers to please Lord Vishnu, who lay there on an island of transcendental ecstasy. Brahma therefore understood the advice of Mahavishnu, who informed him that he would appear on the surface of the earth to mitigate the burden created by the demons. The demigods, along with their wives, should appear there as associates of Lord Krishna and the family of Yadu to increase the sons and grandsons in that dynasty. By the will of Lord Krishna, Anantadev would first appear as Balaram, and Krishna's potency Yogamaya would also appear. Brahma informed Mother Earth all about this, and then he returned to his own abode. After marrying Devaki, Vasudeva was returning home with her on a chariot driven by Kamsa, her brother, when an ominous voice addressed Kamsa, warning him that Devaki's 8th son would kill him. Upon hearing this omen, Kamsa was immediately ready to kill Devaki, but Vasudeva diplomatically began to instruct him. Vasudeva stressed that it would not be good for Kamsa to kill his younger sister, especially at the time of her marriage. Anyone who possesses a material body must die, Vasudeva advised him. Every living entity lives in a body for some time and then transmigrates to another body. Verse. Dehinosmin yata dehe komadan yavaram jada tata dehantara praptir tirastatrandabuyati. Anything else? Vasamchi jirnani yata vihaya navani granati noro parani yata sharirani vihaya jinani anyani samyati navani dehi. If a person under this mistaken conception wants to kill another body, he is condemned as hellish. Because Kamsa was not satisfied by Vasudeva's instructions, Vasudeva devised a plan. He offered to bring Kamsa all of Devaki's children so that Kamsa could kill them. Why then should Kamsa kill Devaki now? Kamsa was satisfied by this proposal. In due course of time, when Devaki gave birth to a child, Vasudeva brought the newborn baby to Krishna, who upon seeing Vasudeva's magnanimity was struck with wonder. When Vasudeva gave Kamsa the child, Kamsa, showing some intelligence, said that since he was to be killed by the 8th child, why should he kill the first? Although Vasudeva did not trust him, Kamsa requested Vasudeva to take the child back. Later, however, after Narada approached Kamsa and disclosed to him that the demigods were appearing in the Yadu and Vishnu dynasties and conspiring to kill him, Kamsa decided to kill all the children born in these families, and he also decided that any child born from the womb of Devaki must be killed. Thus he arrested and imprisoned both Devaki and Vasudeva and killed 6 of their sons, one after another. Narada had also informed Kamsa that in his previous birth, Kamsa was Kalanemi, a demon killed by Vishnu. Consequently, Kamsa became a great enemy to all the descendants of the Yadu Vamsha, the Yadu dynasty. He even arrested and imprisoned his own father, Ugrasena, for Kamsa wanted to enjoy the kingdom alone. Krishna has 3-fold pastimes, the Vraja Lila, Mathura Lila, and Dwarka Lila. Which 3-fold pastimes does Krishna have? As already mentioned, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 90 chapters. How many chapters?
90.
Which describe all these Leelas. What do they describe? The first 4 chapters describe Brahma's prayers for the relief of the earth's burden, and they also describe the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapters 5 through 39 recount Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. The 40th chapter describes how Krishna enjoyed in the water of the Jamuna, and how Akura offered prayers. Chapters 41 through 51, 11 chapters, tell of Krishna's pastimes in Mathura. And chapters 52 through 90, 39 chapters, relate Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. Oh, you were successful. That's nice. Thank you very much. Chapters 29 through 33 describe Krishna's dancing with the gopis, known as the Rasa Lila. Therefore, these 5 chapters are known as Rasa Panchadhyaya. The 47th chapter of the 10th canto is a description known as Brahmara Gita. Okay, you sure you want to do this? If you do, there's no turning back. Huh? You're here, you're already doing it. If you're seen here, I don't know what will happen. Kamsa knows you're here. Sri Rajuvacha Katito Vangsha Vistaro Pavatasso Masurya Yoho Ragnam Chobhayavam Shyanam Charitam Parimad Bhutam. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." And before we continue, we'll recite the Mangalacharna, the extended Mangalacharna. Om Ajnanati Medandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vidatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhista Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Sri Srinavadipa Vara Pradipa Santipyamana Satato Bhuvya Chetastamohantina yasya yatnat tam kirtayama prabhupada devam Sri Bhakti Siddhanta prachodita Sri Vasyadya kosham kushalam kripalu Samblecha vagdesha chayeda dasyas tam kirtayama prabhupada devam Achyad yate yat paratarka drishya Govinda Murti Ujvala Bhaskarena Advaiti Kadyota Kulam Jagatyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yasyaiva Yadnena Burana Raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hamsa Satstrotra Ratna Vihatai Hahuke Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padara Vinde Sahasraritsu Shatamandarishu Aropayad Yo Madure Prabhityam Tam Kirtyamanam Prabhupada Devam Kaushaladya Yasya Sahasra Shastra Sastraditarsha Pratiyanti Yatehi Chandakalir Mohachamur Hatena Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nana Lasad Gaura Sudha Prakasha Palashitao Stapita Eva Heva Krishnanu Chinta Janasanga Vrikshas Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivanti Daivikeshu Nijasu Shikshasu Tusanugami Kripam Bhudhir Nanda Sutta Shritatma Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshaba Navi Devi Daitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupanuka Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vaidagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Vadayate Gaura Virvaba Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Paktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Paktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktiham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Atsarva Swapadambo Jau Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Dhrumadha Srimad Ratnankara Sanghasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Prishtali Bisi Vimanu Smarami Srimad Rasara Sarambi Bhamshi Vatata Tastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devyai Priyai Keshava Sicha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nasinga Jai Nasinga Jai Jai Narasingha Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Chakashana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottama Yavatinam Yata Yuni Yunam Chau Yavatau Yata Mano Biramate Tadvan Mano Mera Matam Twayi Bhumau Skalita Padanam Bhumireva Valambanam Tvai Jata Pararanam Tomeva Sharanam Prabho Govinda Balabe Radhe Prarte Twamaham Sada Twadiyam Iti Janatu Govindo Mam Tvaya Saha Radhe Vrindava Nadishe Karanam Ritavahani Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Vinanda Vrajashrinam Padurenam Abhikshasaha Yasam Harigato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namashrestam Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Surupam Shri Rupam Tasya Gajamarupadim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurun Tannatosmi Adadana Stridandanter Idam Jache Punapuna Sri Mandrupa Padambojo Rajoham Syam Bhave Bhave Antaya Madhura Bala Hadidasavaryo Yadrama Krishna Charanash Parasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yat Paniya Suyava Sakandana Kanna Mulai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gopremanande Hare Bo. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." Purport. At the end of the ninth canto, 24th chapter, Shukadeva Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke of how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden of the earth. Can we see that? Ninth canto, 24th chapter. How he had manifested his pastimes as a householder, and how, soon after his birth, he had transferred himself to his Rajabhumi Leela. You know what we should have in here today, too? Someone can bring the... what's the name of that little book by Rupa Goswami that we gave away as gifts recently? Krishna Leela Stava. Do we have a Krishna Leela Stava? Could we have one today? And we'll bring one in and we'll keep it in here. Who else has one? You have one. Anybody have one in their car? In their purse? For $1 million. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. And, okay, Krishna Leela Stava. That's 108 verses offering obeisances to Krishna's pastimes. We'll read some from the Krishna Leela Stava. And here we are. It was just mentioned, this chapter, called Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is from the ninth canto, chapter 24. Did you all know this was here? This chapter? I'm going to read it to you. Shukadeva Goswami said, "By the womb of the girl brought by his father, Vidarbha Bhagat begot three sons, namely Kusha, Krata, and the Romapad. Romapad was the favorite in the dynasty of Vidarbha. The son of Romapad was Babru, from whom there came a son named Kriti. The son Kriti was Ushik, and the son of Ushik was Chedi." Who is Ushik's son? From Chedi was born the king known as Chaidya and others. The son of Krata was Kunti. The son of Kunti, Vrishni. The son of Vrishni, Nivritti. And the son of Nivritti, Dasharha. From Dasharha came Vyoma. From Vyoma came Jimuta. From Jimuta, Vikriti. From Vikriti, Bhimarata. From Bhimarata, Nivarata. And from Navarata, and from Navarata, Dasharata. From Dasharata came the son named Shakuni, and from Shakuni a son named Karambi, and from Karambi was Devarata, and his son was Devashastra. The son of Devashastra was Madhu, and his son was Kuruvasha, from whom there came a son named Anu. The son of Anu was Puruhotra. The son of Purhotra was Ayu, and the son of Ayu was Satvata. O great Aryan king, Satvata had seven sons named Bhajamana, Bhaji, Divya, Vrishni, Devavrita, Andaka, and Mahabhoja. From Bhajamana, by one wife, came three sons, Nimlochi, Kinkana, and Drishti. And from his other wife came three other sons, Shatajit, Sahasrajit, and Ayatajit. Why are all these names of interest to us? Are they leading somewhere? Yeah, and they're taking us somewhere, right? To the Krishna's birth. The son of Devavrita was Babru. Concerning Devavrita and Babru, there are two famous songs of prayers, which were sung by our predecessors and which we have heard from a distance. Even now I hear the same prayers about their qualities, because that which was heard before, is sung continuously. It has been decided that among human beings, Babru is the best, and that Devavridha is equal to the demigods. I have a godbrother named Babru. I think he lives in Alachua. Because of the association of Babru and Devavridha, all of their descendants, numbering 14,065, achieved liberation. In the dynasty of King Mahabodha, who was exceeding religious, there appeared the Bodha kings. O King, Maharsh Prikshit, who can surpass your enemies, the sons of Vrishni were Sumitra and Yadujit. And from Yadujit came Shrini and Anamrita. And from Anamrita came a son named Nigna. The two sons of Nigna were Shatrajit and Prasena. What pastime do you remember them from? You're so good. Another son of Anamrita was another Shini, and his son was Satyaka. The son of Satyak was Yuyudhana. Where do you remember Yuyudhana from? Which verse? Shraddha, you know the verse. Yes. Can you? Go ahead. Ten points. Another son was Anamrita, and another was Shini, and his son was Satyaka. The son of Satyaka was Yudhidhana, whose son was Jaya. From Jaya came a son named Kuni, and from Kuni, a son named Yukandara. Another son of Anamrita was Vrishni. From Vrishni came the sons Shwapalka and Chittaratra. From Shwapalka, by his wife Gandini, came Akrura. Akrura was the eldest, but there were 12 other sons, of whom all of whom were most celebrated. The names of these 12 were Asanga, Sarameya, Mridura, Mriduvit, Giri, Dharmavrida, Sukarma, Kshetropeksha, Aridhana, Shatrughna, Gandamada, and Pratibahu. These brothers also had a sister named Suchara. From Akura came two sons named Devavan and Upadev. Chitrata had many sons headed by Prithu and Vidurata, all of whom were known as belonging to the dynasty of Vrishni. Kukura, Bajamana, Suchi, Kambara, Barhisha were the four sons of Andaka. The son of Kukura was Vani, and his son was Viloma. The son of Viloma was Kopatoroma, and his son was Anu, whose friend was Tumbaru. From Anu came Andaka, from Andaka, Dundubi, and from Dundubi, Aviyota. From Aviyota came a son named Purnavasu. Purnavasu had a son and a daughter named Ahuka and Ahuki, respectively. And Ahuka had two sons named Devaka and Ugrasena. Devaka had four sons named Devavan, Upadev, Sudev, and Devardhan. And he also had seven daughters named Shantideva, Upadeva, Srideva, Devarishita, Sahadeva, Devaki, and Drita. Deva. Dhritadeva was the eldest. Vasudev, the father of Krishna, married all these sisters. Kamsa, Sunama, Nyagroda, Kanka, Shanku, Suhu, Rashtrapal, Drishti, and Tushtiman were the sons of Ugrasena. Kamsa, Kamsavati, Kanka, Shurabhu, and Rashtrapalika were the daughters of Ugrasena. They became the wives of Vasudev's younger brothers. The son of Chitrata was Vidurata. The son of Vidurata was Shura. And his son was Bajamana. The son of Bajamana was Shini. The son of Shini was Bhoja. And the son of Bhoja was Hridika. The three sons of Hridika were Devamidha, Shatadanu, and Kritavarma. The son of Dev Devamidha was Shura, whose wife was named Marisha. Through Marisha, King Shura begot Vasudev, Devabhaga, Devashrava, Anaka, Shunjaya, Shyamaka, Kanka, Shamika, Vatsaka, and Vrika. These 10 sons were spotlessly pious personalities. When Vasudev was born, the demigods from the heavenly kingdom sounded kettle drums. Therefore, Vasudev, who provided the proper place for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was also known as Anakatundubi. The 5 daughters of King Shura, named Prita, Shutadeva, Shutakirti. Hey, we got Shutadeva in here. Shutashrava, another god brother, Raja Di Devi, and Vasudev's sisters. Shura gave Prita to his friend Kunti, who had no issue, and therefore another name of Prita was Kunti. You want to hear that again? Shura gave Prita to his friend Kunti, who had no issue, and therefore another name of Prita was Kunti. Once when Durvasa was a guest at the house of Prita's father, Kunti, Prita satisfied Durvasa by rendering service. Therefore, she received a mystic power by which she could call any demigod. To examine the potency of this mystic power, the pious Kunti immediately called for the sun god. As soon as Kunti called for a demigod of the sun, he immediately appeared before her, and she was very much surprised. She told the sun god, "I was simply examining the effectiveness of this mystic power. I am sorry I have called you unnecessarily. Please return and excuse me." The sun god said, beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seed in your womb so that you may bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact since you are still an unmarried girl. Report, according to Vedic civilization, if a girl gives birth to a child before she is married, no one will marry her. Therefore, although the sun god, after appearing before Prita, wanted to give her a child, Prita hesitated because she was still unmarried. To keep her virginity undisturbed, the sun god arranged to give her a child that came from her ear, and therefore the child was known as? The custom is that a girl should be married, akshata yoni, that is, with her virginity undisturbed. A girl should never bear a child before her marriage. Text 35. After saying this, the sun god discharged his semen into the womb of Prita and then returned to the celestial kingdom. Immediately thereafter, from Kunti, a child was born who was like a second sun god. Because Kunti feared people's criticisms with great difficulty, she had to give up her affection for her child. Unwillingly, she packed the child in a basket and let it float down the waters of the river. O Maharaj Parikshit, your great-grandfather, the pious, chivalrous king Pandu, later married Kunti. Vrida Sharma, the king of Karusha, married Kunti's sister, Shutadeva. And from her womb, Dantavakra was born. Having been cursed by the sages headed by Sanaka, Dantavakra had formerly been born as the son of Diti, named Hiranyaksha. King Drishtaketu, the king of Kekai, married Shutakirti, another sister of Kunti's. Shutakirti had 5 sons, headed by Santardana. Through the womb of Rajahadi Devi, another sister of Kunti's, Jayasena begot 2 sons, named Vinda and Anuvinda. Similarly, the king of Chedi state married Shutashrava. This king's name was Damugosh. The son of Shutashrava was Shishupal, whose birth has already been described in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudev's brother, named Devabhaga, had 2 sons born of his wife Kamsa. These 2 sons were Chitraketu and Brihadbala. Vasudev's brother was named Devashrava. Vasudev's brother, named Devashrava, married Kamsavati, by whom he begot 2 sons, named Suvira and Ishuman. Kanka, by his wife Kanka, begot three sons named Paka, Satyajit, and Purujit. King Srinjaya, by his wife Rashtrapalika, begot sons headed by Vrisha and Durmarshana. King Shyamaka, by his wife Shurabhumi, begot two sons named Harikesh and Hiranyaksha. Thereafter, King Vatsaka, by the womb of his wife Mishrakeshi, who was an apsara, begot sons headed by Vrika. Vrika, by his wife Durvavrikshi, begot Taksha, Pushkar, Shala, and so on. From Shamika, by the womb of his wife Sudamani, came Sumitra, Arjunapal, and other sons. King Anaka, by his wife Karnika, begot two sons, namely Ritadama and Jaya. Devaki, Pauravi, Rohini, Padra, Madira, Rochana, Ila, and others were all wives of Anaka Dunduvi, Vasudev. Among them all, Devaki was the chief. Vasudev, by the womb of his wife Rohini, begot sons such as Bala, Gada, Sharana, Durmada, Vipul. Dhruva, Krita, and others. From the womb of Pauravi came 12 sons, including Bhuta, Subhadra, Bhadrabahu, Durmada, and Bhadra. Nanda, Upananda, Kritika, Shura, and others were born from the womb of Madira. Bhadra, Kaushalya, gave birth to only one son named Keshi. Vasudev, by another of his wives, whose name was Rochana, begot Hasta, Hemangara, and other sons. And by his wife named Ila, he begot sons headed by Uruvalka, all of whom were chief personalities in the dynasty of Yadu. From the womb of Dhritadeva, one of the wives of Anakadundubi, Vasudev, came a son named Viprishta. The sons of Shantideva, another wife of Vasudev, were Prashama, Prasita, and others. Vasudev also had a wife named Upadeva, from whom came 10 sons headed by Rajanya, Kalpa, and Varsha. From Srideva, another wife, came 6 sons such as Vasu, Hamsa, and Suvamsa. By the semen of Vasudev in the womb of Devarakshita, 9 sons were born, headed by Gada. Vasudev, who was religion personified, also had a wife named Sahadeva, by whose womb he begot 8 sons headed by Shruta and Pravara. The 8 sons born of Sahadeva, such as Pravara and Shruta, were exact incarnations of the 8 Vasus in the heavenly planets. Vasudev also begot 8 highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki. These included Kirtiman, Shushena, Bhadrasena, Riju, Samardana, Bhadra, and Sankarsana. The controller and serpent incarnation, that is Sankarsana. The 8th son was the Supreme Personality of God and Himself, Krishna. You're all waiting for that, right? The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter, was your grandmother. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the Supreme Controller, the Personality of God at Sri Hari, appears by His own will. O King, Maharshi Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for His appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Supersoul, He knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects Him, not even the results of fruit of activities. Another verse, parallel. Okay, that's for kind of the previous verse, yeah? Go ahead. Namam karmani limpandi na me karma palespriha. Namam kammani limpanti name karma pale spriha. Namam karmani limpanti. Namam karmani limpanti name karma pale spriha. Namam karmani limpanti name karma pale spriha. 440? 4.14. Namam karmani limpanti name karma pale spriha itimam yo bijanati karma bhirna sabadyate. There's no work that affects me, nor do I aspire to the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. Interesting, because in the verse, Janma karma cha me dibhyam evam yo viti tattvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjana. Krishna says a similar thing, that one who understands the nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again when he leaves this material body. So similarly here, one who understands this truth, what truth? That no work affects Krishna, nor does he aspire for the fruits of action. Doesn't become entangled. The person in that situation doesn't become entangled. Purport. As there are constitutional laws in the material world stating that the king can do no wrong, or that the king is not subject to the state laws, similarly the Lord, although he is the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world. He creates and remains aloof from the creation, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruit of results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources. The proprietor of an establishment is not responsible for the right and wrong activities of the worker, but the workers are themselves responsible. The living entities are engaged in their respective activities of sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. For advancement of sense gratification, the living entities are engaged in the work of this world, and they aspire to heavenly happiness after death. The Lord, being full in himself, has no attraction for so-called heavenly happiness. The heavenly demigods are only his engaged servants. Yes? No, but go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah. Use the mic because it's broadcast.
It seems interesting that the example used there is the proprietor is not responsible for the actions of his, however it's, you know,
employees.
Whereas usually we use the opposite example, that as devotees, we simply act and we have no result, and the results are all Krishna's. So can you explain how these are being used in two different ways?
If you work for Oracle, it's your business whether you want to stay there or not, because there's certain rules and regulations. If you work for Apple, Oracle, I'm just picking a corporation. Welcome to Silicon Valley and to 2010. Okay, Oracle, Apple, IBM, work for IBM, then you can work there and follow the rules and regulations of the company. But what's it to, who owns IBM? Who knows? Let's say, what's that other big company? Microsoft. We know who owns that, right? What's his name? Bill Gates. It's not his business whether you are hired or fired. It's just thinking of it in terms of how the similar example, a high court judge is not responsible for the punishment or reward of the person who comes before the court, because he's simply meeting out justice. But a person who is, but the person who has committed the crime is responsible.
So in that case, it's just talking. Correct me if I'm wrong. So in one example, they're talking about the materialistic people that are misusing their free will, and therefore the superior authority is not affected. It's nothing to do with their sinful or pious activities. And the other example that we give, like a bank teller who may take in millions of dollars or give away millions of dollars, but he's not affected because he's a devotee who's accepting that Krishna is the proprietor.
Yeah. Different use of the...
Different use, okay.
Same kind of situation. I was particularly struck with the sentence, that statement, that the activities of the living entities, that is, that they're searching for sense gratification, is not ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the state of ignorance is described in the Shastras. One can see that ignorance manifested as fruit of activities. Tritiya Shaktir Ishate. What is the verse? Tritiya Shakti Maya Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tathapara Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tathapara Avidya Karma Samgyanya Tritiya Shakti Ishyate. So fruit of activities are a display of the ignorance of the living entity, because he has no business engaging in fruit of activities. They're not ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the living entity is responsible and must suffer or enjoy the results of that. The Supreme Lord's not affected by it. Namam karma li limpanti name karma pale spriya. Nor is he interested in the fruits himself. He has no interest in it himself. Definitely. Yes. The Lord, being full in himself, has no attraction for the so-called heavenly happiness. The heavenly demigods are only his engaged servants. The proprietor never desires the low-grade happiness such as the workers may desire. He is aloof from the material actions and reactions. For example, the rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth, although without such rains, there is no possibility of vegetative growth. Vedic Smriti confirms this fact as follows. Nimiti matram evasau srijanam sargakarmani pradana karani bhuta yato vai srija shaktayaha. In the material creations, the Lord is the only supreme cause. The immediate cause is material nature, by which the cosmic manifestation is made visible. The created beings are of many varieties, such as the demigods, human beings, and lower animals, and all of them are subject to the reactions of their past good and bad activities. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations of the modes of nature, but he is never responsible for their past and present activities. In the Vedanta Sutra 2.134, it is confirmed, Vaishamya negrine na Supekshavat. We should get a Vedanta Sutra for this bookshelf. Can we get a Vedanta Sutra? No. But we can use it for reference. It's available. Can somebody get the Vedanta Sutra in here? It's got a commentary by Baladev Vidyabhusan. It's one volume. It's easy to get. I think you can get it through... you can get it through somewhere. Krishna.com. Someone have it online there? You want to look it up real quick? We want a Vedanta Sutra for in here for reference. Please. In the Vedanta Sutra 2.134... it is confirmed, Vaishamya nargrnye na sapekshatvat sutras. The Lord is never partial to any living entity. The living entity is responsible for his own acts. Give me another verse, parallel verse. Everyone together. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dveshosti na paraha na bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But he says, one who, he's impartial, he's equal to everybody, but one who acts in devotion for him, Krishna reciprocates. The living entity is responsible for his own acts. The Lord only gives him facilities through the agency of material nature, the external energy. Anyone who is fully conversant with the intricacies of this law of karma or fruit of activities does not become affected by the results of his activities. Anyone who is fully conversant with all the intricacies of this law of karma or fruit of activities does not become affected by the results of his activities. Couple verses. Fourth chapter, Gita. Jnana agni sarvakarmanam basmasat kurute tata. You know the verse? Krishna says that one who comes to knowledge, it's like a fire, it burns up all his karma. Balade Bidibhusan commentary. And who's selling it?
It's available online. There's a listing there.
Not in the form of
a
hard copy, in the form of a website.
Oh, it's a website. Oh, it's a little further along that verse. Did you find it?
4.19.
4.19. Hmm? Well, that's a nice one. That will work. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitaha kyanakni tagdikarmanam tamahu panditam buddhaha. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Nice find. And then also we have in near the end of the fourth chapter. Text 37. 4.37. Yataidam si saminognir basmasat kurate tata gyanani sarvakarmani basmasat kurate tata yataidam si saminognir basmasat kurate arjuna gyanagni sarvakarmani basmasat kurate tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. There's another one in the fifth chapter. Gyanena tu tadagyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj gyanam prakasha yati tatparam. First, Krishna describes how the Supreme Lord is not responsible for anyone's sinful or pious activities. And he says they're bewildered by ignorance. And when they become enlightened by knowledge, it's like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Gyanena tu tadagyanam Tesham nashitam atmanaha. Gyanena tu tadagyanam. Yesham nashitam atmanaha. Tesham adityavajgyanam prakasha yati tatparam. It's like the sun rising. So, one who does not know the transcendental nature of the Lord and who thinks that the activities of the Lord are aimed at fruit of results, as are the activities of the ordinary living entities, certainly become entangled himself in fruit of reactions. But one who knows the supreme truth is a liberated soul fixed in Krishna consciousness. based on knowing the Lord's transcendental position, which includes that he's not affected by fruitive activities and he's not attracted to this material world. Can someone elaborate on that? How is it that by knowing the Lord's transcendental position, one that person himself becomes freed?
Immediate explanation that comes to my mind is unless you become fire, you cannot enter fire. That analogy Prabhupada gives often. So the fact that you are in knowledge of the Supreme shows that you are in the transcendence or the same quality as that of Supreme. So as a result, You are beyond this karma of the material world or in a liberated position. That is by knowing about Krishna, that to the degree you know about Krishna, to that degree you will be liberated from this. So the more you acquire the qualities of fire, the more you become fire. So that's what my understanding is.
Okay. Shruti.
There's jnana and vijnana, so there's knowledge and realized knowledge. So when one actually has realized knowledge, then he acts on the platform, Jivarasarup Hoy Krishna Nichidas. So then he's actually acting on his position as eternal servitor, so then he's liberated.
And my specific question was, how is it that just by knowing Krishna's liberated position, how is it that we get liberation also?
Once we know that Krishna is not involved in these things, then we will understand that Krishna is not responsible for what is happening to us. It is the modes of material nature and the laws of nature.
That's really interesting. I like that. That's kind of a psychological point. Oftentimes when people ask about how we came into this material world, I answered lately that we can talk about it, but the process is the same. However you came into the material world doesn't matter, because the process for getting out is going to be the same for you either way. And therefore, why do you want to know? And usually it boils down to I want to know because I want to know if someone did it to me, if God's doing this to me, or if I did it to myself. Because that's the two classifications in the psychological point of view. And since the process is the same, either way, one should accept the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam for the actual psychology, which is tatte nukampam susamikshamano. Mentality, I should say. Tatte nukampam susumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. That somehow or other I did it to myself. And I'm responsible. And a step further with what Shraddha just said, interesting, because then if you see that Krishna's, how did you put it? You said you see that he's not encumbered by the material nature.
I was going to say, Prabhuji, it's a matter of... Once you realize that, then it's a matter of taking ownership. A lot of people just keep on throwing the blame on God, that, you know, think bad things are happening to me and God is doing it to me. But then when you realize that Krishna is not involved, and then we understand that if bad things happen to us or good thing happens to us, it's just the mode of material nature which are acting according to the karmas that we did, then there's the ownership there. So once we realize that we are the cause of our situation, then we'll do something about improving it. And then we will go to...
But somebody might say, well, he's above the modes of material nature, but he still did it to me because he's keeping me down. He could be ill-motivated. I see your point, though. It's that he doesn't have any interaction with the material modes of nature, no interest in it, and he didn't implicate us in the material nature. And as soon as I realize that, then I once I take responsibility, then there's an opportunity for coming out. And until I take responsibility, it's not possible for me to come out. Virginia Kumar, do you accept that?
I mean, so that's the free will of the soul, that he should understand that he has a free will, and he has misused that free will, so he's in this material world. Now he has to make that will to go back home, back to Godhead. And yeah, I mean, I accept that he should take responsibility.
Nice. And then, do you accept that this verse helps? Na karma, namam karma lin tanti, name karma palespiha.
Oh, Krishna saying.
Krishna's saying that there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reaction of work. Shraddha was saying that because someone understands that Krishna is beyond the... he has no interest in the material world. If you understand that about him, that makes you feel that you're responsible. And therefore, you take an active interest, an active part in coming out.
I mean, I find that thing difficult to understand, what Krishna is saying. Because just by knowing that Krishna says one becomes free, just by knowing Krishna's transcendental position, one becomes free. I mean...
I have one more mic.
Actually, in the material world, it's like knowing is different from acting. But in spiritual sense, Prabhupada explains that various places in Ishopanishad purports, he's saying that knowing actually means that you have to act. So a person, if we say that a person has understood Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it means he does actions in a surrendered way. So if he doesn't know, then we actually don't know. So we know as much as how we act. So if we even if we know but we don't act, then we don't know actually. So that is my understanding.
Let me read the purport to Janma Karma Chime Divyang. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So Gandharvika's theory is that knowing means acting. And therefore, when Krishna is saying in this verse that one who knows the transcendental nature of his appearance and activities means that they're actively engaged in devotional service, which is the liberating factor. Here's the purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nurakto, Bhaktivyapi Hridyantaratma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Oh, I think this is getting close. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna, because Tattvamasi means what? It can mean two things. It can mean you are that or you are his, according to Lord Chaitanya. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of God, it is certainly liberated instantly. And consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. I'll read that again. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is actually liberated instantly. And consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed in the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva vidyavati mrityumeti nanyam panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord. Hare Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's no other way to achieve this perfection. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Your theory... Okay, Rajendra Kumar.
What I understand is that where Krishna is saying that there's no work that I have to do and I'm not bounded by anything. And he says that those who understand my activities to be transcendental, they are liberated. And Prabhupada is explaining that that if one doesn't understand Krishna to be supreme, he would offend the Lord by thinking that he's one of us. Like, you know, he's one of the human beings. So he'll offend the Lord and he's in mode of ignorance. You know, he will degrade himself. But one who understands that his glory, that his activities are transcendental, he will actually glorify the Lord. And that's what, you know, uplifts him for liberation. So I understand that it is the quality of being, you know, the offense to commit to the Supreme Lord, that is eradicated when understands this position of that person. So like... a thought came, like, you know, to my mind that suppose the owner of the company comes, and, you know, if one doesn't know the owner, then he will offend it and, you know, he will be in trouble. But if he comes to know that this person is the owner, then he will definitely respect that person and, you know, he's in a good position. So I see it that way, that knowing him to be supreme is...
You're leaving? Come soon. We'll be counting the minutes. Well, we're just going to confirm your theory, because I think when you started by saying that, how did you put it?
The degree to which you gain knowledge about Krishna.
Yeah.
To that degree, you will be liberated. Meaning to say, you will acquire the same quality of Krishna.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, to the degree that you know Krishna, the degree that degree you're liberated, which is kind of your point also.
I thought the example of entering fire without becoming fire, you cannot enter.
Well, the reason I particularly like that is because the evidence that just came in here for Tattvamasi, Prabhupada says that this the Vedic version Tattvamasi is actually applied in this case. Tattvamasi is a, you know, the Mayavadis use that to say you are that. But the point is that we are that. We're not the same in quantity, but the same in quality. Therefore, as soon as you have knowledge of Krishna, Mayahaya Andhakara, then there's no more Maya. And you're elevated, you're connected to Krishna once you know him. Yes. Sorry, we better let Kishore go, or he won't come back soon. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, in this purport, Prabhupada is saying, like, we can't understand Krishna with our intelligence, with our mundane intelligence. Mm-hmm. So who is having faith, like he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he is liberated. Means we can't understand him in a logical way. He born to Devaki, and like he appeared, right? So that is my understanding. Yeah.
Nice point, because on one side Prabhupada quotes Advaita Machutam Anadim Anantarupam. He can't be understood just by Vedic knowledge and such, but if one is faithful. And also the yogis who try to approach him cannot understand. Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhavad avashuddha buddhaya aruya krishchena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya is a prayer by the demigods to Lord Krishna within the womb, where they say that unless one comes to the position of understanding the personality of Godhead, reestablishing their relationship with him, then whatever kind of liberation they've attained is only imagined. It's not stable, and therefore they'll fall down from that position at some point, even though they take great hard work to get there. Such liberation of the living entity from the material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. That's why I quoted the verse, because all other kinds of liberation are not permanent according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this sentence indicates that one who reestablishes a relationship with Krishna and knows the transcendental nature of his body and his activities is in a much higher situation. And if his liberation is permanent. We came about from this purport, this verse, text 57, O Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As a supersoul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruit of activities. Purport. This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities. Karmana daiva netrina jantur deho papataye. A living being is never independent and can never appear independently. Rather, one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Yantra Rudrani Mayaya, the body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living entity by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya, the material energy, according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this, or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Paricharanaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people who because of a poor fund of knowledge, think that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna are condemned in every way. It goes to your theory. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as Asvamurdva. According to the Vishvakosh dictionary, the word Maya is used in the sense of false pride and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivahi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon the devotees and fallen souls. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. So you're saying that it's a matter of offensiveness if one doesn't understand the transcendental nature and the of Krishna's body and his activities, then naturally one's an offender. And because of that, he's kept down in the material nature. That's your point, right? And knowing or understanding Krishna's transcendental nature in his body and activities means that you don't have an offensive mentality. And just because of that, you're free to go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, we could say that the cause of being in the material world in the first place goes back to an offense of ignoring Krishna. Go ahead.
Then he glorifies the Lord for his activities.
Because when he knows that his activities are transcendental?
Yeah.
In other words, if you're not, it requires some lack of envy or something to know the transcendental nature of the Lord and his activities.
Yeah, I mean, considering the example of Sukhdev Goswami, who was already a transcendentalist, and, you know, he, after taking birth, he just left home and, you know, he wanted to be away from material world. But when he started glorifying the Lord, he was talking of activities of the Lord, which they are seemingly material. They're seemingly material of his marriage, of his affairs, of, you know, of his fighting and all that. But he's glorifying that activity. And because he knows that, you know, that Supreme Lord is Krishna, so he's glorifying, and therefore he's a great devotee. I mean, I see that as an example, that even though he was liberated, but, you know, once he came to know that Krishna is that Supreme, he didn't see his activities, Krishna's activities, as mundane. And he glorified it in Srimad Bhagavatam.
So you're invoking the Atmarama verse.
Yeah. Actually, Atmarama verse is the right verse.
Okay, so we had three theories, and they're all very similar. Kishore's was that fire can approach fire, right? Gandharvika's was that to know means to act. Yours is to know means to give up one's offensive mentality. Or in the positive, to know him means to love him. And we have supporting verses for all of these, right? How you support fire can approach fire. From Bhagavad Gita. It means that only someone who's attained the quality of Brahman, spiritual quality, can actually understand Brahman or can come close to Brahman. And in the example of fire and fire, if something that's not fire approaches the fire, then it'll become destroyed. But when fire comes close to fire, it's not affected because it's got the same temperature. It's like Prabhupada said, people live in the sun because they have fiery bodies. So they live there. There's shopping malls and everything else. And then we have to know Krishna means to act. Knowing means to action. And then we have to know means to love. So before you leave, you have to give verses to back those up. Think about it. And then text 58. The Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through his material energy in the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation just to deliver the living entity by his compassion and stop the living entity's birth, death, and duration of materialistic life. Thus, he enables the living being to return home back to Godhead. Purport. Materialistic men sometimes ask why God has created the material world for the suffering of the living entities. This goes to your thing about kind of offensive mentality. We're talking about this. The material creation is certainly meant for the suffering of the conditioned souls who are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are as good as the Lord qualitatively, tattvamasi, but quantitatively there is a great difference between them. For the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. Thus, the Lord possesses unlimited potency for pleasure, and the living entities have a limited pleasure potency. Anandamayo Bhyasat, Vedanta Sutra, 1.1.12. We'll soon have that book in here. Both the Lord and the living entity, being qualitatively spirit-soul, have the tendency for peaceful enjoyment. But when the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead unfortunately wants to enjoy independently without Krishna, he is put into the material world where he begins his life as Brahma and is gradually degraded to the status of an ant or a worm in stool. This is called manakshastanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. There is a great struggle for existence because the living entity, conditioned by material nature, is under nature's full control. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Because of his limited knowledge, however, the living entity thinks he is enjoying in this material world. Manakshastanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. He is actually under the full control of material nature, but still he thinks himself independent. Ankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Even when he is elevated by speculative knowledge and tries to merge into the existence of Brahman, the same disease continues. Aruya krishena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangaya. Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Even having attained that parampadam, having merged into the impersonal Brahman, he falls again to the material world. In this way, the conditioned soul undergoes a great struggle for existence in this material world, and therefore the Lord, out of compassion for him, appears in this world and instructs him. Thus the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanhir bhavati bharata abhyutanam atarmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The real dharma is to surrender unto Krishna, But the rebellious living entity, instead of surrendering to Krishna, engages in adharma, in a struggle for existence to become like Krishna. Therefore, out of compassion, Krishna creates this material world to give the living entity a chance to understand his real position. Bhagavad Gita and similar Vedic literatures are presented so that the living being may understand his relationship with Krishna. Vedaishta sarvarhameva vedya. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. All these Vedic literatures are meant to enable the human being to understand what he is, what his actual position is, and what his relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. This is called Brahma Jignasa. Every conditioned soul is struggling, but some verses that contain the Brahma Jignasa. Kama sanendriya pritir labo jivete yavata jivasya tattva jignasa narto yascheha karma bi parabhavastava rabodha jato. Yaman, that's in the shloka book. Parabhavas, fifth canto. Parabhavas tavara bodha jato. Page 222, sloka 555 on 222. Parabhavas tavara bodha jato yavanna jignasata atma tattvam yavat kriyas tavaridam manovai. Karmatmakam gena sharira bandha. I'll say, please repeat. Parabhavas tavada bodha jato.
Parabhavas tavada bodha jato.
Yavanna jignasata atma tattvam.
Yavanna jignasata atma tattvam.
Yavat kriyas tavadidam manovai. Karmatmakam gena sharira bandha. The translation, as long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruit of activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in fruit of activity, he has to accept the material body. Okay, new service for somebody. We got to record all the verses that we quote today. So just keep a running tab. You need like a legal pad or something, and somebody jot them down. You have a legal pad somewhere? Need a good pen and a legal pad. Are you going to be here all day? Can we have your thing when you walk out? It's got to be a pad we can leave behind in case one person leaves the room. Or a piece of paper. Just a piece of paper will do. It's all we ask. And one pen. You can keep them in categories too if you want. Organize freely. Categorize. Hey, that's a lot. We better start chanting shlokas faster. Okay, so let's remember a couple that he should write down that we so far we quoted. Namam karma nilimpanti, we talked about, right? We had janma karma chame divyam. We had parabhavastavara bodha jato, that's 555 in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We had aruya krishena paramparam tata, that's yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas, that's from 10th canto. That's 10.2.32. What else? We quoted Yatai Damsi Saminognir Basmasat Kuratarjuna. That's in the shloka book. Yatai Damsi Saminognir Basmasat Kuratarjuna Genagni Sarvakarmanam Basmasat Kuratetata. That's from the fourth chapter of the Gita. And the verse number is 34. Right? No, that's not right. I'm sorry. At 37, Kishore also brought another one to our attention. Namam Karmani Limpante. That's 4-7. Is that right? No, that's 4-7. It's Yada Yadahi Dharmasya. Oh, good. We got Gandharvika back. It was looking bleak for a while. That's 14. 4:14. It's a big verse. And also, Kishore gave us 4:19. Yasya Sarve Samarampa, which is a great verse. Kama Sankalpa Varjita. Listen to the word for word for this. We came up with three theories while you were gone, Gandharvika, that summarize what everyone said about that. Namam Karma. That fire, only fire can approach fire. That's parallel to Tattvamasi, as Prabhupada invoked. And to know means to act, and to know means to love. To know Krishna means to love him. So that means if one actually knows Krishna, then he's not offensive. And it means that he's on the transcendental platform. And listen to this verse, 4:19. This is maybe the verse of the day. It's in competition for the verse of the day. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita. Ginagni tagdakarmanam tamahu panditam buddha. Yasya, one who sarve all sorts of samarambha attempts, kama, based on desire for sense gratification, sankalpa, determination. Congratulations, nice piece. You just got that? Nice. Varjita, devoid of jnana, of perfect knowledge, agni, by the fire, dugda, burned, karmanam, whose work, tam, him, ahus, declare, panditam, learned, buddha, those who know. Translation is, one is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. You want to hear the purport? Only a person in full knowledge can understand the activities of a person in Krishna consciousness. Because the person in Krishna consciousness is devoid of all kinds of sense gratificatory propensities, it is to be understood that he has burned up the reactions of his work by perfect knowledge of his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is actually learned who has attained to such perfection of knowledge. Development of this knowledge of eternal servitorship to the Lord is compared to fire. Such a fire, once kindled, can burn up all kinds of reactions to work. Okay. Continuing with the text 9:24:58, Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, out of compassion, Krishna creates this material world to give the living entity a chance to understand his real position. Bhagavad Gita and similar Vedic literatures are presented so that the living being may understand his relationship with Krishna. Vedaishcha sarvaraham eva vedya, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. All these Vedic literatures are meant to enable the human being to understand what he is, what his actual position is, and what his relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Brahma Jignasa. Every conditioned soul is struggling, but human life provides the best chance for him to understand his position. Therefore, this verse says, anugrahas tun nivrite, indicating that the false life of repeated birth and death must be stopped. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohanji Ki Jai. Ko Premanande Aribo.